Morning, everyone. Morning, everyone. How are you guys doing? Are you fine, really? Really? Are you like cold or bored or... You're just like... He's just like, yes. So anyone who hasn't been here over the last 7 weeks, anyone who hasn't heard, okay, first time. Anyone else? Never heard of the Revolution series before. Okay. So I have some homework for you. You need to go find our Facebook page, and on the Facebook page is all this amazing stuff on the last 7 weeks. I promise you, it's fantastic. You don't want to miss it. But for those of you who've been here, who remembers the definition of a revolution? You know, you can answer. Anyone who remembers? Okay, I have chocolate to give away. There we go. Anyone who remembers? Okay, I'll give it to you. A revolution is the overthrow of an established system, a sudden, radical, or complete change. But we also talked about what a revolutionary does. A revolutionary, that's the person, influences large masses of people. So I don't know which one stood out most for you and why. Can you think of a couple that stood out most for you? Who are some of the ones we've talked about? I'm giving away chocolate. Were you here in AM1? No. Okay. We'll start with Asha. What did he do? Yes, Nelson Mandela in the apartheid movement. You get a chomp. There you go. Okay, so we'll go there first, and then I'll come to the ladies. Adolf Hitler, yes. What did he do? Yes. Yes, Germany. There we go. You still get a chocolate. Okay, the lady, sorry. The ladies over here, I saw a hand. Oh, did someone steal your answer? Someone stole your answer. Okay, someone else? Yes, who? Martin Luther King. What did he do? You don't remember. You just remember. What did he do? There we go. He fought for equality among the races. Martin Luther King. Who do you remember? John. All right. And what do you remember what he did? Oh, wow, John Wycliffe. That's deep. Even I don't remember John Wycliffe. Well done. Someone else? There are so many guys. I have so much chocolate. Anybody remember? Just say it. The one you're thinking of, yes. Gandhi, you see? What did Gandhi do? Yes, and you get a chocolate. Anybody else? Yes, Alexa. Che Guevara. There you go. Chocolate for you. You can think of another one. Think a female. Nobody rings a bell. Okay, let me refresh your memory. Just as the picture came. Okay, who did you think of? Yes, there we go. Oh, we actually didn't ever do Mother Teresa. That's a good one. Did we ever do? I don't remember, but that's a really good example. Alexia? Rosa Parks. Okay, now the answer is on the board. So there's so many people. Thanks, guys. So many people who we've talked about. All these people influenced society. Malcolm X, Mandela. Like, all these people did something that changed society and changed the way we look at life now. Could you turn this down just a little bit, Mark? Thank you. So what do you think revolution looks like today to you and me in our lives and in our spheres of influence? So when you think about what you do in a day, you go to school, or you go to work, and then you go to church over the weekend, you hang out with your friends, or you're in your neighborhood. Do you think it's possible for us to revolutionize our spheres of influence? So each and every one of us has a calling. Do you guys believe that? A God-given purpose. Do you know what your purpose is? Still trying to... Oh, yes. Maybe you're still trying to figure it out. Each and every one of us has something that drives us towards eternity. Because at the end of the day, life is not really about us just enjoying earth. It's about us getting to heaven and enjoying that. That's so much more fun. But while we wait for heaven, what are we going to do here on earth? Do you believe you can actually influence the masses? Do you think you can change a society? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Can I really change my office or my industry? How do I do that? Like, what are the steps? Do you think there's like a formula or like a blueprint? I think there's a blueprint because If other people have done it before, surely there must have been specific things they did, right? Let's watch this.
Listen to me. No one else can do this but her.
She won't be able to handle it. The game's destroyed her.
We need to unite these people out there. She's the face of this rebellion. They'll follow her.
Any association with the Mockingjay symbol is forbidden.
Are you fighting Katniss? Are you here to fight with us?
I am. I will.
I think Pastor Mark revolutionized our entertainment when he introduced Hunger Games. So if you don't know anything about Hunger Games, or if you don't know the story, this is actually the newest movie of the, I think there's the third of the series. And Katniss, who's the lady you see there, starts a movement to oppose the system, which is the Capitol, because the Capitol has been oppressing the people. And so everyone looks to her as their leader, and she's the one who leads them into this movement of changing lifestyle and challenging the system. So modern day revolutionaries, do you guys think you know any? If you think about in this day and age, in the last 10, 20 years, who has revolutionized the way we live and the way we do life? Who knows what that is? Yo, throwback. Throwback Thursday. A portable MP3. No, we didn't even have MP3 back then. Can you believe it? So this is a cassette player. It was like a little tape. There was tape in it. And you'd like put the tape in the cassette player and you'd hang it on your belt pack. It was like the coolest thing to have when I was in high school. And then you'd put the earphones and that was the in thing. This is a little bit more modern, because we all know CDs and DVDs, but back then, they thought Sony revolutionized the compact disc. Then it was a revolutionary to have a CD. And they thought CDs would last forever. It was like, this is it, we found the solution. And then in comes this guy with a little iPod. Like, what now? We've gone from like this big, massive disc man or like a Walkman to a little device where you put all your music digitally. Who ever thought we would consume music like that? Steve Jobs changed how we look at technology. If you think about how much you can do with your phone plays music, it can give you directions to get to work, it can put all your emails and you can talk to people and like all in a little device. How many people have an Apple product? Either an iPhone or... Look at that. Like that's what he's done. He's changed the way we think. And earlier this week, they launched the iWatch. So I don't know if you guys heard about it. There's this huge launch of the iWatch. And if you look at the icons there, it has your alarm clock, your calendar, the weather, the time, your fitness app, music, videos. Like, who would have thought a little watch would be able to do that? 20 years ago, none of us ever imagined we'd get there. But Steve Jobs did that. He changed what we thought about technology and what technology could do for us. And because of him, Apple is like the coolest thing that was ever done in history. Political revolution. Everybody knows who Barack Obama is. Did you guys ever follow his very first campaign for presidency? Yes, you can. I'll never forget that phrase. He changed how we look at politics in America. Some people considered him to be a superhero because before him, no one thought that they'd ever have a black president. It's what Martin Luther King was fighting for there to be equal rights. And if you guys didn't know, in 2009, he was actually awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between people. So it wasn't just about the states. It wasn't about him becoming this change they wanted to see in America, but he influenced the rest of the world. International diplomacy, do you know how deep that is? Like to get nations to talk to each other and to like cease fire and to sign all these peace deals. He was the facilitator for stuff like that.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you look like or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American, or young or old, or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight, you can make it here in America if you're willing to try. I believe we can seize this future together because we are not as divided as our politics suggest. We're not as cynical as the pundits believe. We are greater than the sum of our individual ambitions, and we remain more than a collection of red states and blue states. We are and forever will be the United States of America. And together, with your help and God's grace, we will continue our journey forward.
To be able to be the face of equality in America, that's a big deal. And that's what he did. He was able to bring together all these guys and say, it really doesn't matter where you're from, what your color is. It's all about, are you willing to work hard to be successful in America? That's it. The rest is irrelevant. And so he brought a revolution in the States just through politics. And that's what all these guys do. And let's come a bit closer to home. And I'd like to ask Kondwani to come up. And we're going to look at an educational revolution. I'm sure you guys didn't expect me to do like someone in South Africa, in our youth. So those of you who don't know Kondwani, he used to be part of the youth group here, and then he was part of our leadership, and now he's at WITS. So Kondwani, tell us what you're doing at WITS.
I'm studying a BCom Information Systems, and that is an IT degree. And this year we had a big project where there are 12 different groups, 12 different teams, and everybody has to propose a project. So I proposed my project, and my project won. And the great thing about my project, it winning, is that they want to now use it to be part of it. So this thing's called PTI. And what it basically does, it helps you be a better student. I found first year was really hard for me, and I wanted to bridge the gap. And actually, when I got into first year, I wanted my whole class to pass somehow, like everybody, all 500, 1,200 of us to pass. But with this app, now every single first year class can pass. So basically, this app, you want to get 60%, it'll evaluate and grade your marks every single month, give you reports on how close or how far you are from reaching your goal. So yeah, WITS is actually going to take it and make it part of their education system.
How cool is that, right? But that's not the only thing he's doing. So what's your next big aspiration?
My next thing that I'm doing, I'm running for SEBS Council. And basically, SEBS is School of Economic Business Science. They are the council that is the bridge between the staff of WITS and the WITS students. So we fight for students if there are clashes, all this kind of stuff, if working is too hard, all these different things. So I'm going to be the SEBS council, and right now I'm leading the voting. So in the vote, so hopefully I'll be president, and I'll try and make entrepreneurship easier for WITS become students.
Wow! Thank you so much. The thing I really like about Kondwani's story is after they created the app, he was like, okay, done, next one. He's like, moving on to the next thing. It's just like, but just let this one become, you know, let it change the university and then we can think about the next thing. No, he's still looking for what's the next way I can influence society. And that's his thing. He's at WITS. So what can you do where you are with what you have? And sometimes it's as simple as solving your own problem. Because if he was struggling with first year, surely all the other first years were struggling as well. They must have been wondering, how the hell are we going to get this right? So it might just be something you're struggling with on your own, and you're thinking, Lord, give me a new way, a new idea to change how we do life in this, in school or at home or whatever. And here's another teenager that I really like. Do you guys know who this is? You've heard of her before. So Malala has a very interesting story, and I'm going to let her tell it herself.
On the 9th of October, 2012, the Taliban shot me on the left side of my forehead. They shot my friends too. They thought that the bullet would silence us. But they failed. And out of that silence came thousands of voices. The terrorists thought that they would change my aims and stop my ambitions. But nothing changed in my life except this. Weakness, fear, and hopelessness died. Strength, power, and courage was born.
At the age of 14, she was targeted by the Taliban in Pakistan because she was fighting for the rights of girls to go to school, because girls are not allowed to go to school. And knowing that, her and her family, of course you'd be afraid for your life, but she still continued going to school. And then one day, they were pulled over in the bus by the Taliban, and with their guns pointed at them, asked, "Who's Malala?" And of course, all her classmates turned and looked at her, and then they shot her in the head. Thankfully, she survived, and she was moved to England, where they operated on her. She got facial reconstruction, and then she is now the youngest person to have received a Nobel Peace Prize at the age of 17. Like, how amazing is that? To be so specific about what you want to change in your society to the point where you influence outside. Like, all she was thinking about was Pakistan. Now everyone across the world knows her. Everyone talks about her story just because of this one incident. And this is what the Prime Minister of Pakistan said about her. She is the pride of Pakistan. She has made her countrymen proud. Her achievement is unparalleled and unequal. Girls and boys of the world should take lead from her struggle and her commitment. She didn't stop. After that experience, she didn't decide, okay, enough with this defending people in Pakistan, I've had enough. No, she continued. And during an interview on CNN, this is what she had to say about winning the award.
When I think of myself, I have a lot to do. So I think that it's really an early age. And I would feel proud when I would work for education, when I would have done something, when I would be feeling confident to tell people, yes, I have built that school, I have done that teacher's training, I have sent that much children to school. When I would be feeling proud, then if I get the Nobel Peace Prize, I would be saying, yeah, I deserve it somehow. Still, I need to work a lot. I need to work a lot. And I must work a lot.
I really like her. Just the simplicity of the things she wants to do. She just wants to get a teacher's training, and then she wants to build a school. Like, something so simple, such a simple message, changes the world from just this little town. So what can we learn from all these world changes about revolution? One, it involves sacrifice. It doesn't come easy. Are you willing to sacrifice for the sake of this one calling? You and I know someone who did that for us, who sacrificed his very life on the cross so that we could be free. And John says this about Jesus. He is the payment for our sins, not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. He sacrificed his life. And because of that sacrifice, you and I are seated here today. You and I can live our dreams free without any condemnation. But revolution also changes a society. So you have this dream and you want to change, say, your school or your class. And that influences the school, and that influences Joburg, and then that influences South Africa, and then it influences Africa, and just like that, you're changing the world. It starts with that little idea that you want to change your sphere of influence, and that's how you begin to change an entire nation. These guys dared to bring change. That's what it's about. It's about seeing something in the system and saying, no, this is not right. I feel it needs to change. And each and every one of those people did that, from Jesus to Steve Jobs. They all changed how we look at, Steve Jobs changed how we look at technology now. Like, everybody wants an iPhone. I want an iPhone. I don't have an iPhone. I aspire. It's on the list of things to get this year. Okay? Because it's just such a cool device to have, and you want to be part of the revolution in technology. The same with Obama. He's changed. He's introduced a new healthcare system in the States. He's changed the lives of black people, and they look to him as someone who brought that change. And before him, they didn't think they'd ever have that. But someone else we know who changed Christianity in history is Paul. And the story of Paul is so fascinating, because I did a little exercise this week where I typed into a Google search Saint Paul, and it's amazing the amount of information that comes up. I just thought it would be like Bible Gateway, that website for the Bible that would come up only. No, it was just like history. All these people just looking at the history of the church and the history of Christianity, and they're all talking about Paul and the amazing work he did. So first we look at Paul as the apostle. after Jesus left his disciples, Paul was responsible for spreading the gospel in Europe. And in, I think it was all of Europe, not specifically. I was going to say Eastern Europe, but it was actually all of Europe. And he was just fighting for people to know who Jesus Christ was. But he was also the theologian. He answered questions about Christ. Remember when Jesus was around, the disciples always used to ponder him with questions. What does this mean? And when the prophets talked about this, what did that mean? But Jesus was gone. Paul was the person who was able to answer questions about theology through sending letters. Paul was a writer, and he sent all these letters to all across Europe to tell different communities how they should live their lives and how they should change. If you read the New Testament, those were just letters. I'm going to challenge you to do a little exercise. Pick up, say, Galatians or Ephesians and just read through it beginning to end without stopping at a chapter. It's amazing how it reads like a story. He's writing letters to these people saying, I've heard this is what you're doing. This is not what God called you to do. This is how you should be. And just by doing that, Paul was able to communicate to so many people and influence so many lives and start this massive movement of Christianity in Europe. So let's look at what it takes to be a successful revolutionary. Not just to be a revolutionary, but to do it and be successful. First, you need to be persistent. It's not going to be easy, but you need to remain committed to your God-given purpose. A lot of people were shaking, saying, yes, I know my purpose. You have to remain committed to it. Here's a little story from Paul. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. At the shipwreck point, I would have exited that story. I'd have been, thanks, I've had fun, it's been real. Drowning, I love the ocean, but being shipwrecked, nah, no thanks. But he continued, I have been in danger from rivers and from bandits, in danger in the city and in the country, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Yet he continued. Yet he persisted. Imagine if Paul stopped at that point. What would be our view of Christianity? What would the New Testament be like? Like, what would we be reading about if he had stopped, but he didn't? I have this reminder hanging in my living room, just in case I lose sight of my purpose. Will it be easy? Nope, it won't. Worth it? Absolutely. And because of that, you do it anyway. Because that's a guarantee. If you're wondering, I hope my purpose is easy. It's not going to be easy. I promise you. I can tell you. So knowing that, you still persist. Why? Because God gives you courage. So you have to have courage at the end of the day, because it's not an easy calling. It's not an easy thing to be that one person who's trying to pursue this one thing and go against the grain in society. But God calls us to be courageous. And here's another story from Paul from Acts 14. Some Jews came from Antioch and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and they dragged him outside the city thinking he was dead. But he got up and he went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. After preaching there, they returned to Lystra to strengthen the believers like nothing had happened. He was stoned to death. Like they thought he was dead, so they left him for the dead. But he got up. So where were we? And then they moved on. Like, who does that? You have to be courageous so that when people challenge you, when people challenge what you're trying to do, you can say, but the Lord has commanded me to be strong and courageous, to not be frightened, to not be dismayed, for he is with you wherever you go. Sometimes exams are really hard and it's just like, where is God? You know? But he's commanded you to be strong and courageous. You believe and have faith that he is there with you. He will stand with you. Interesting quote we found on Facebook this week. You either try and risk failure or you never try and be remembered a coward. Which one would you prefer? Just try. I don't want to be remembered as a coward. Definitely not. I don't want to be that guy in heaven. We're like sharing our stories and you're like, yeah, actually. Yeah, I kind of, nah, that thing didn't work for me. You don't want to be that guy. You want to be the guy who's like telling of this awesome experience, telling people around you how you were able to change. But you also need to be humble. At the end of the day, you need to be humble. I was telling this story in the first service. I believe that my calling is mine and mine only. And it only looks like CK. There's only one person who's going to do that thing. So often when I hear someone sharing their dreams and it's similar to mine, and I'm like, no, that's not, that's mine. Like, But that's not the point. The point is that everyone changes. If we're all trying to change the color of the wall, does it matter if everyone picks up a brush and paints red? We painted the whole wall, right? The point is that it's going to be red at the end of the day. It doesn't matter if I decide I'm the one who's going to put the red color. Here's an interesting story from Paul again. Some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry and to stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. It doesn't matter who does it. The point is, if we're all trying to change society, if there's change, yay, right? Regardless of whether I take the glory or someone else takes the glory, it's about bringing about that change. And so the fourth point, don't conform. You need to remain unique to what God has called you to do. It's so easy in this day and age to go with the different changes in society. There's so many cool things like, oh, that looks interesting, and oh, that looks interesting. You don't want to be the odd one out. A lot of people want to go with the crowd because it's so comfortable to be with the crowd. But God calls us to not conform, to be unlike anything else because we are peculiar people. That's what he calls us in the Bible. Another story from Paul in Galatians 2, it says, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, for he used to eat with the Gentiles, then started to separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of Jewish believers. Even Barnabas was led astray by his hypocrisy. I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. Peter was confused. He was like flip-flopping, undecided. You need to choose to be unique and believe that the calling that God has called you to, he is faithful, that he will walk with you and he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Don't be afraid to be the only person who's standing saying, this is not right. In school, you're just like, no, that's not right. I'm not going to do that. Meanwhile, everyone else is like, what's your problem? Come, let's just go. No, 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 no. Stand firm in what you believe in. And lastly, forgive quickly. Paul says, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Like, after all these people tried to kill you, they were like, you were put in jail and everything. And then he says, no, it's fine. Don't hold it against them. And Jesus did the same thing on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. You need to be able to be like, it's fine. I let it go because my focus is on my purpose and calling. And so successful revolutionary is about being persistent, staying humble, having courage, forgiving quickly, and not conforming. Do you guys, anyone heard of this movie? Yes. Anyone watched it? Has anyone seen it? No. Okay. Let me show you the trailer. I think you're going to watch it after this. Our message has focused on the story of Dr. Martin Luther King earlier in the series. But this film is about a specific march that was in a little town called Selma in Alabama. And they were, as you saw in the trailer, he was trying to fight for voter rights. I mean, when the president says to you, no, it's okay, don't worry, we'll deal with this later, you'd be like, okay, that's fine. But he was like, no, we have to march because what we're talking about is important and the world needs to know. And just after the march, this is an article from 1965 from LA Times, and I'm just going to read a bit of it where it says, nor should there be any mistaking of the motives behind Sandy's Negro March. It was not meant to sway opinion in Selma or Alabama or elsewhere in the Deep South. Its true purpose was to dramatize a cause and a plight, to rally national and congressional support for legislation aimed at federal guarantees for voters' rights. I'm the kind of person who does not like marches. Like, if you call me to go march outside, I'm not that guy. I'm like, thanks. I'll send a camera crew to cover it or whatever. I don't think you really have to convince me. And the cool thing about Selma was, because of how powerful their story was and how powerful this march was, 70 million people across the world watched it. All of a sudden, one person's right not to vote became a worldwide thing where everyone's like, why don't these guys have a right to vote? And it brought attention. And you never know what you can do to bring attention to your cause or to whatever your calling is or what that issue is that you want changed in society. A march could do that. The theme song for Selma, the movie you just saw, is called Glory, written by John Legend and Common. And they recently won two awards, the Academy Award, which is the Oscar, as well as the Golden Globe. And their speech at the Oscars was amazing. So I want you guys to just take a listen.
Thank you. For First, I would like to thank God that lives in us all. Recently, John and I got to go to Selma and perform Glory on the same bridge that Dr. King and the people of the Civil Rights Movement marched on 50 years ago. This bridge was once a landmark of a divided nation, but now is a symbol for change. The spirit of this bridge transcends race, gender, religion, sexual orientation, and social status. The spirit of this bridge connects the kid from the south side of Chicago, dreaming of a better life, to those in France standing up for their freedom of expression, to the people in Hong Kong protesting for democracy. This bridge was built on hope, welded with compassion, and elevated by love for all human beings. Thank you. Nina Simone said, "It's an artist's duty to reflect the times in which we live." We wrote this song for a film that was based on events that were 50 years ago, but we say that Selma is now because the struggle for justice is right now. Yeah. We know that the Voting Rights Act that they fought for 50 years ago is being compromised right now in this country today. We know that right now, the struggle for freedom and justice is real. We live in the most incarcerated country in the world. There are more black men under correctional control today than were under slavery in 1850. When people are marching with our song, we want to tell you we are with you, we see you, we love you, and march on. God bless you.
Thank you, Ava. Thank you, Ava. Thank you. Thank you, Ava, Oprah, Harpo, and Plan B.
Who would have ever thought that a song would draw so much attention to such a simple cause? Like, I consider myself to be an artist. Jeez, I can't believe I said that. Because of a creative, it's so, because creative people are so expressive. And that's what these guys did. They expressed how they felt in a song. And that song has gone and revolutionized how everybody looks at this specific event in history. The little thing that you care about, that passion can do that. So what is your duty? What will you do with your passion, with your purpose, and with your calling to change the world? Because I kid you not, that's what it's about. It's about changing the world. Don't for one moment think it's just, I'm good at this, therefore I must sit with it. No. God gave it to you so that you can change the world. He gave you your purpose and your calling so that you can change the world. You must trust Him. You must trust God. You need to take that bold step and believe He will get you to that place of influence so you can revolutionize a movement. If you can change how people think in your school, that will automatically influence their homes and their neighborhoods, and that will influence the country and then influence Africa. And just like that, you change the world. And I talked about this song earlier, and it's just amazing how deep the lyrics are, and I'd like us to listen to it.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
To the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against. Yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, glory.
every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win a war individually. It take the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, glory. Oh.
As I was watching that, I actually thought of you, Keenan, because I was listening to Common, and I'm like, hey, you like to rap. That could be you one day. You never know what your gift could do. We're just going to read through the second verse, because I quite like the second verse of this song. Selma's now for every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They marched with the torch. We're going to run with it now. Never look back. We've gone through hundreds of miles. From dark roads, he rose to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing our music. It's the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream, we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win the war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. Coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory. I would love to ask Common, what were you thinking when you wrote those lyrics? Because they're deep, man. It's not just, oh, this is a cool rhyme. He literally thought about society. And if you guys know anything about the States, there was the killing of Ferguson in Ferguson a while back. And this song is so real for them because of what's happening in Ferguson at the moment. And it links it in this thing that happened in 1965 plus what's happening right now in 2015. It makes your purpose and your calling a reality. And I'd just like us to pray now. And I don't know, I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes and bow your head. Bow your head, close your eyes. And I don't know if you're probably at that place where you're like, Lord, I'm not entirely sure what you want me to do. Or maybe you're at that place where you actually know what your calling is, but you're stuck. You don't know what the next step is. Like, what do I do now when I know it? And I'm just going to ask if you're at that point, if all you need is for the Lord to just give you that fire in your heart to show you the next step. I'll just ask you to put your hand up and drop it right back down so that I can pray with you quickly. If you're saying, Father, I just need to know what to do next. I know my purpose. I know my calling. I don't know what to do next. Or maybe you don't even know what your calling is. You don't know what your purpose is, and you're trying to figure out, Lord, what's the plan? Just put your hand right back up, right up and down, and then I'll pray with you. Thanks. Thanks for those hands. Heavenly Father, we're just so honored to be called children of God. Lord, you created us in your image, in the image of a creator of the world. That means we have the potential to do anything, Lord. We have the potential to change society. The things that we see in society that are not aligned to your call, to your purposes, Lord, you give us the power through your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, for each of the individuals here who raised their hands today, I ask that you may pour out your Spirit within them in a special way, Lord, that it would burn with a fire, Lord, a specific conviction that they would be able to take the next step. Give them wisdom. Surround them with people who know you, people who will guide them down this journey as they pursue your purpose and your calling in their lives, Lord. And even as you call them to be revolutionaries in society, I pray that they would be confident to stand up and proclaim you, Lord. That even as they're trying to change things around them, Father, they'll still be able to say, this is not about me. It's about Jesus Christ, and he's the reason why I stand. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for this series. Thank you so much for the amount of knowledge, the amount of learning that we've had. Just all these unique individuals, Malcolm X and all these people who did amazing things, Martin Luther King and them, Father. I pray that we may never forget their stories, that we may be able to do what they did, that we may be able to leave a legacy of change, to change where we live, to do more than just talk about the ills of society, but to be the ones to stand up and say that needs to change. And so, Lord, even as we leave today, I pray that we would leave with the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'd continue to convict us, Lord, that you'd continue to send us back into your word, that we may hang on to it and cling on to it, that we may be able to walk this walk that you've called us to. Thank you, Father, for it's in your name we do pray. Amen.